Would you take a look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5? So I'm just going to show you this. These are my sermon notes for today. So this is going to be kind of a long introduction for a very short message. So we're going to be mostly talking about, you know, what happened this week over in Romania. But, you know, what are we doing here if we're not listening to God's word? So let's start with what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 16 through the beginning of chapter 6. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We appeal, implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Holy Spirit, add your blessing to the reading of your word. I pray that you continue to speak it to us today. Make our hearts open to what you want to say to us and do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to kind of share a little bit about the trip. And I've got some photos. It's just kind of just a prompt to talk about what happened this week. But then I don't want to leave you guys just kind of as spectators, so we're going to end with three little reflections on this passage in light of the trip that I had this week. And basically the three points are going to say that our work as Christians is a ministry of building relationships. So this ministry of reconciliation. If you guys know what reconciliation is, we're gonna get to that. But it's essentially about building relationships, and that's what we did this week over with these Ukrainian kids. Secondly, that the relationship with God cannot take place without Christ setting us free from sin. And finally, we all have a role in that ministry of reconciliation. So I'm just gonna jump in. Those of you that were on the prayer text list know that my travels were a little bit hectic. So I ended up getting there a day late, and I ended up getting back a day late, because on both ends, my little connecting flight, either out of Indianapolis or out of Cluj, Romania, was delayed and did not get me to my international flight in time, so I ended up having to stay an extra night on both ends of the ride. And that was... that was representative of how the trip went. So we had a lot of unexpected events come up. So let's go ahead and jump in, and we'll talk about that. So this adorable little girl was a good example of one of the unexpected elements of the trip. We ended up with 15 kids, all under the age of, say, 7 years old, that were special needs. And they each came with their own caregiver. So there were 15 kids and 15 caregivers for these kids with special needs. So I told you before I left that we were planning on working with kids being bused in from Ukraine, some of whom have been recovered from being taken away to Russia to be kind of, you know, retrained to think in a Russian sort of way. The government of Ukraine did not approve the day that we were expecting them. And so they ended up coming about a day before we ended up leaving. So we only ended up with about a day and a half of time with those kids. And instead, what we ended up with, because our coordinator in Romania thinks very quickly on his feet, we ended up with 15 of these kids that have special needs, and about 20 kids from the school, the Ukrainian school in Mediash, where we've worked before. So we actually recognized a lot of the kids that we were working with. So we spent 4 days with those kids, and then was kind of 4.5 days with those kids, and then just about a day and a half with the kids that we were expecting to work with in the first place. So anyway, go ahead and hit the next one. So I just want to introduce our team. So on the far left there, that's Mark. Mark's a school teacher. He also plays the piano. Next to him, Valeri. Valeri lives in Kyiv, Ukraine, and he's been working with our founder, Tom, for 15 years or something like that, helping with the adoption process. They used to do a lot of adoptions before the war started. Next to that is Tim, Pastor Tim, I should say. He preached for us on a couple of occasions, both to the kids and to the church that we visited in Romania. Next to that, Anya and Vika really go as a team. You can't just say one. So Anya she's been coming. This is her third year. And then Vika is like her mentee. So she calls her disciple. So Vika's learning to be a missionary like Anya. And then the one on the far end, Sarah, she's only in her early 20s, but she turned out to be a creative force to be reckoned with. So we're very thankful to have her to help us adapt to some of these things. So let's hit the next group. So, okay, there's just a picture of me and Mark. Before we flew out of Cluj the last day, we visited this cathedral. Go ahead and hit the next one. So on Monday, this past week, that was the day where we lost the one group and we were getting the new group and we had some kind of dead time. And so we just kind of drove a half an hour away and went and saw this old medieval city, Sigishwara. It's been around since like the 1200s or something like that. And it looks like it's been around since the 1200s. Which to me is a compliment. Like that's really cool. So anyway, this is just kind of, go ahead and hit the next one. So there's Tim just in this very old church on top of this hill. But I thought he looked very pastoral and scholarly and stuff sitting there at the front of this ancient church. And of course we always have to take our picture at the top of this hill, a slightly reduced group. All right. So part of what we did with the special needs kids, I mean, I'll be honest, the older guys were really the strongest asset with those special needs kids. Because what these kids really benefited from was just some grandparents. You know, just a grown-up that is used to hugging grandkids and loving these kids. I mean, a lot of these kids had difficulty just speaking. They didn't converse well, but they understand hugs. And so, you know, some of these, you know, guys that, you know, our grandfathers were a strong asset. So the next one is a similar sort of photo. So Tim also is a grandfather. Anya's a ladybug. She obviously is not a grandparent, but she's very good with playing with kids too. Sarah, actually, let's see if Sarah's on the next slide. Yeah, there's Sarah. So she was Superman for the first day. This all happened, by the way, before I got there because I was late a day. But Sarah just picked up kids on her back, you know, these special needs kids, and she just kind of walked around with them, and they loved that. So where words fail, just play and affection were a powerful asset. And by the way, they even when you can speak, that kind of affection, you know, hugs for kids and playing with them is a powerful expression of love. So there's Tim. He got to preach at this church we visited in Romania. We've been to this church several times, but they are very much involved ministering to the Ukrainian community there. So Tim was quite the passionate preacher that night. He had the people moving. So this girl loved throwing rocks. And so what am I going to do? I'm just going to get down and I'm going to throw rocks with her. Not far, you know, just kind of, whee,
this is great, you know? So like, I'll put rocks in her little basket or whatever she had, kind of toss them up in the air. So the next one, another one of these girls, I mean, she didn't speak. I mean, she had a handful of words that she could say, but that doesn't mean she didn't understand love, or that she didn't desire and crave that affection. So that was something we did not expect, we didn't know we were going to have until we got there. This is just one example of the way that God kind of took my plans that I'd made. You know, I was the program director. Like, I was in charge of coming up with a plan. All right, guys, this is what we're doing. Oh, we've got 15 special needs kids that don't even necessarily speak. These lessons are not going to work for these kids. So I think God kind of took me and my plans, and he's like, okay, have you got it? Are you in control? You still in control? A little bit? All right. It was very important for God to convince me that I was not in control, that I didn't have things together. But as you'll see, he really did. So go ahead and hit the next one. So this, again, the day that we got there, you know, the girls all had their costumes. You know, Anya was a ladybug, Sarah was Superman, and Vika was a princess. It's just fun. You know, we're just dancing, having fun, playing. I wasn't dancing, having fun, playing. I was on a plane somewhere or in an airport. But they had a good start. Go ahead and hit the next one. So lots of motions and actions, by the way. If you're not used to using your hands in worship, I strongly encourage it. Getting your body involved is just a way of staying involved. And, you know, I mean, kids are willing to do it, but that doesn't mean the rest of us don't need it. So go ahead and hit the next one. So this is just kind of an in-between game, but this dining hall we ended up using for a lot of ministry stuff. Go ahead and hit the next one. So Valeri, I mentioned Valeri, who lives in Kyiv. His wife lives there in Mediash, and she created this like medieval kind of costume, and all the girls got to dress up in this thing and get their pictures taken with it, and it was just for fun. There was absolutely no like Bible point to it. It was just, hey, let's just dress up in a costume and it's fun. So hit the next one. The kids did love the instruments. So, you know, if there's any kids in this church that are interested in working on an instrument, guitar, piano, drums, I'm happy to work with you on it. But I worked with a lot of kids playing different things, and most of the time they just like dinking around on it, just kind of boink, 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 just plunking keys. So the next one, they're playing guitar, so I was, you know, mostly, again, they just like picking, but there were a couple of kids that were really interested in learning. Hey, teach me something. Yeah. It was a good kind of connecting point. All right, next. We took them, so this hotel is where we've stayed in the past. So this time we were at a camp, but the hotel and the camp are like the same owners. And so we took all the kids swimming. And these are the special needs caregivers with their kids, and they were so appreciative of that opportunity. They just had so much fun with these kids in the pool. So we took the kids from the camp over to the hotel and just went swimming in the pool. All right, next. Again, just playing a game. The tall boy in the front, his name is Kirill, which, have you ever heard the name Cyril? Like Saint Cyril. Kirill's just... take Cyril and make it a K instead of a S. All the kids from the school were actually given the responsibility of helping to care for the special needs kids. So that was I don't know who came up with that plan, but it was great. I mean, these school kids are just jumping in and they're helping the special needs kids do things. They're playing games with them and they're taking care of them and watching out for them. So being given a job was just very empowering for these kids. Next, we did some tie-dye. Most of these kids didn't live through the 60s. I don't know if you remember this, but they had never heard of tie-dye. I don't think any of them had heard of this idea of like, so wait, you do what now? You take a shirt and you tie it up and then you dye it? That's okay, that's tie-dye. But they had a big time with that. That was a Sarah activity. I told you Sarah was a creative force. All right, so anyway, that's kind of some of the fun stuff. So then once a day, we got together for worship and for lessons. And so, I mean, you know, I've been going over there for a while, so I know a lot of these songs in Russian and Ukrainian, and either I can play and sing, or Anya can. Go ahead and hit the next one. So Sarah actually was also a fiddle player. She is a violinist, and she could just jump in and play anything. But, I mean, these kids really gravitated to these songs, especially the ones that were energetic and active, you know? So, like, we came up with motions for the kids to do. And they participated. They really engaged with that. And a lot of these kids, they've heard some of these songs before. So we did one song called Life Is Not Life Without Jesus Christ. And these kids knew this song from before. So they'd love the songs. Like, what song do you guys want to do? Zhitya na zhitya. All right, let's do it. And then, so in the morning we'd have the lesson and songs. In the afternoon we'd watch a video about some missionary, and then we'd have a discussion. And so there's me leading the discussion, and then Valeri next to me was translating for me. But we just, you know, ask the kids some questions and just get them talking about what they heard, what they believe. And they didn't really have real deep answers most of the time, but it gave them a chance to talk about, you know, what they think about God, what they think about Christianity, and about, you know, what life is kind of about. So it was challenging. There was one girl in particular who wanted nothing to do with it. You know, she didn't want to talk about the Bible. She didn't want to do songs. She didn't want to watch these videos. And so she would just kind of remove herself most of the time. But about the third day, I guess, there was, you know, one Ukrainian guy that was one of our co-workers, and he just had a great rapport with her. And so I sat him down. It's like, okay, Andrei, can you sit down with this group of teenagers and just have this discussion? And she stayed. And she had a good conversation. And she felt like she could express what she thought. And by the end of the week, this girl that wanted nothing to do with the Bible or with these songs or anything, she was really engaged and enjoying it. And we were told at one point, I forget which day it was, maybe the third day, we were told that one of the teenage girls had put their faith in Jesus this week. And I don't know if it was this one girl or not. If it's not, then we've got two that have made some important progress. But there were people putting their faith in Jesus this week because of these conversations that we were having, because we were just willing to listen to them and let them talk about what they believe. Okay, so next one. So these wristbands, if anybody didn't get one of these, I brought back about a dozen of them or something like that. So if you still want one, they're over there on the table. But somebody had the brilliant idea of not just passing out the bracelets, but actually having our team put the bracelets on the kids. And these bracelets say, nothing can separate us from the love of God, Romans 8:39. So after our third day of lessons, we passed out these bracelets, and the kids really liked these, and you can see them just kind of sitting there looking at their bracelet. So it's written in Ukrainian, by the way. It's not in English. That wouldn't mean a whole lot to them. But that third day was really significant. So here's Tom, our founder, putting a bracelet on this little girl, Susanna. But they loved those things. So these kids are going to be going forward with this message on their wrist that says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. By the way, you guys paid for these, so thank you. So I printed some booklets, the tie-dye shirts, like the white t-shirts. The Benevolence Committee, you know, gave me some money just to spend on this trip. Some of it went to these bracelets, some of them went to the t-shirts that they tie-dyed, some of them went to little booklets that I printed off and gave to the kids. I want you guys to know that you guys contributed to that. The money that you gave to the Benevolence Committee put towards these things here. So you've got 35 plus 45, got 80 Ukrainian kids running around with these things on their wrists right now because of you guys. So thank you for supporting that. All right, next one. Okay, so the last day was a big trip. We're going to move through these kind of fast. So we got, I was the only one that rode on the bus. So we got, we were offered, the team was riding in the van, like my team was riding in a van. And they're like, well, you've got plenty of room on the bus. If anybody wants to ride with the kids on the bus. I'm like, what the heck? Why not? So here's me with no translator sitting on this bus with a bunch of Ukrainian kids who don't speak English. And so I don't know if you know this. I've been working on Ukrainian for the language for 3 years. So I was really put to it, and I had to, you know, use what little skills I had to be able to communicate with these kids. And that was actually really important, you know, just to kind of be cut off from any sort of a safety net where I can run away and just like, all right, just you and the kids, go. So I'll touch on that in a minute here. So yeah, some of these kids, so the special needs kids, I was told by the caregivers, most of the kids with special needs had never had pizza in their life. And so we took them to this park, this resort, and they got to have pizza for the first time. Which, I mean, these kids are the school kids, so they've had pizza. Like, that's not new for them. But the kids that are special needs are mostly orphans. And, you know, a lot of these experiences are very big first experiences for them. And the caregivers loved us by the end of the week. I went out of my way to just tell the caregivers how much I appreciated the way that they, you know, expressed love for these kids. All right, go ahead and move on. This little guy's name is Ashot. He and his sisters are actually from Armenia, but they moved to Ukraine and then from Ukraine to Romania. So we each got a kid to kind of escort through the park. So next one. So there's his sister, Susanna. She's a dinosaur today. So next one. Ashot really wanted a picture with this plesiosaur down there. So there's like this dinosaur part of the park. And he's riding a dinosaur now. All right, go ahead. Oh, poor Yulia. Yulia wanted a... She obviously wanted a picture taken. She was like, wah. So had to... Kids all over the world are pretty much the same, I think. Yeah, so the bigger kids were not so much into the dinosaurs, but they were really keen on that zip line. It's like, oh, that's cool. We want to do that. So we did the zip line, and that was a big connecting point for them. So go ahead and skip through a couple of these. Okay, so that was the big picture at the end of the day. That was the last big day that we had with the first group. So, and on that night, next, so Mark got to share his testimony a little bit about how he came to faith in Jesus, and then Pastor Tim talked about the forgiveness of sins. And it was just a really special time. And as things got dark, we ended up passing out these glow sticks. This little guy, he understands glow sticks. He's special needs. He doesn't talk, but he understands glow sticks. So, I mean, by the time it got dark, it was kind of a cool, intimate time, you know, just to say, you know, kind of our last, it wasn't quite goodbye. So go ahead and hit the next one. So the next morning, the kids went through Pilgrim's Progress. This was an Anya idea. But the kids kind of went through the Slough of Despond. If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, find a modern adaptation unless you really like 1600s English. But so anyway, yeah, go ahead. And this is all Pilgrim's Progress stuff with games that the kids played. There's Andre. He was my special, like, secret friend. I had to write him a special note and send him a candy. So this is them going through the narrow gate. So the cross, if you know Pilgrim's Progress, there's this narrow gate that you go to the cross. So their little circle was, you know, coming to eternal life through the narrow gate. Obviously, we didn't tell them if you go through this hoop, you have eternal life. But and then heaven. They really liked heaven because, next slide, on heaven day, you get prizes. So, like, because heaven is the prize, right? So then we handed out these gifts at the end. All right, go ahead and move on. So they're all, yay, thank you. So there's our day in Sigishwara. There we are waiting for the next group to arrive, who finally arrived. And there was some, what do I want to say, static? There's a little bit of tension the first evening with those kids. They didn't love their accommodations. And these kids are no longer the little ones. These are all teenagers, 13 to 16, 17. And they were kind of looking at us like, I don't know about you guys. So, you know, kind of jumping into that. And I tried talking with a kid the first, you know, as they're getting off the bus. And they literally laughed at me and turned around. So how's that for a warm welcome? So, you know, I asked them, and I could have been saying this wrong. You know, I'm speaking Ukrainian, and I don't know if I said it all correctly. But I asked them, you know, how their trip was, how long their trip was, where they were coming from. But they just kind of laughed at me and turned away. So not a really great beginning. So this first day, I just kind of told them, hey, guys, we have to leave in another day or so. But we hope that we can get you guys off to a good start here. So those kids are still there right now. Those kids are still at the camp. They're anticipating another group coming in about 5 days, I think. So we had little time to get started, but go ahead and hit the next one. We taught them wiffle ball, and that was a big icebreaker. I mean, so we had the girls doing tie-dye while the boys did wiffle ball, and then we switched. And I'll tell you what, the girls got wiffle ball a lot better than the boys did. They were aggressive. They were like a league of their own, you know, like this, like, we're going to rock this thing. So, I mean, you can see how she's swinging the bat, you know, like none of them knew how to swing a bat. None of them understood the rules of baseball, period. So like this, I didn't anticipate this. I thought baseball was a worldwide sport. Nope. It's international, but not worldwide. But playing that, they started opening up. You know, they started laughing together, and the kids didn't know each other either necessarily, but they started making friends with each other. So then we had this, so the next one. So this is our one lesson. I got to share my lesson about God's love with them, and then I got to hand out these bracelets, and they started being like, okay. And we actually did the motions with them, like there's this Lord's Prayer song, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, let your kingdom, well, actually, it's, anyway. But I got the kids to do some motions with me, so I had to get up there and make a little bit of a fool of myself. But they did it with me and started breaking the ice. By the end of the day, they were willing to talk. So go ahead and hit the next one. So this is the last night that we were there. We watched this Christian movie with them. Some of them, we told them it was optional. 10 of them got up and left as soon as the name Jesus was mentioned, which we told them that's fine because the rest of them got a choice. They stayed for a reason. So we don't know. We don't know what happened with that teenage group. Obviously, not all of them are Christians. Most of them are not Christians. Many of them don't even believe in God. But they stayed, and they discussed, and they were willing to have that conversation. I believe, is that the last one? All right. Okay. So what are our takeaways? Thanks for listening to that completely unorganized lowdown of the week. So what are our takeaways? First of all, our work as Christians is a ministry of building relationships. So 2 Corinthians 5 calls it the ministry of reconciliation. You guys know what reconciliation means? It means two people that their relationship is broken are reunited. You know, they make peace. And that has to, part of that at least, has to be building human relationships. If you don't know me very well, you probably wouldn't know this, but like I'm coming off of years of social anxiety. So like new group of people, I don't know what they're going to think of me. I don't know what they're going to say if I put myself out there. And so working with kids, especially whose language I don't know very well, is a little bit scary, right? But by one thing and another, I just started throwing myself into these conversations with kids, you know, recognizing, like, I could be saying this totally wrong. I had this joke with the kids. Like, anytime I'd say something, I was just like, okay, that I pronounce that really badly, and they're like, what are you saying? And I'd say, I speak Ukrainian very well. Я говорю по-українською дуже добре. And the kids are like, yeah, дуже добре, right, very well. But it was fun, right? So like, I was willing to laugh at myself, make fun of myself. And that was the beginning of forming this relationship. And you know, like I mentioned, these teenagers kind of looking at us the first night, like, who are these guys? You know, and like I try to say hi the first time they get off the bus. And they just kind of laugh and turn away. It's like, has that ever happened to you? I mean, have you ever tried to connect with somebody and just didn't go well? That's not a good feeling. And it can make you want to step back and have this moment where we're just kind of sizing each other up. It's like, I don't know if I want to talk to you. I don't know if I want to talk to you either. This happened on the plane too, by the way. You know, it's like you sit down in a seat next to somebody and you're like, do I talk to him? Do I not talk to him? Go ahead and talk to him. You don't have to get all theological with him. Just start a conversation. The central relationship in this ministry of reconciliation, of course, is with God. And God made the first move with us when he sent Jesus to be our shepherd. He didn't sit back and wait for us. All right, guys, what are you going to do? Are you going to come to me or not? No, he came and found us. And he keeps doing that by sending us, his people, to those that don't know him yet. So you don't have to go right for the gospel presentation, but don't be afraid to open conversations with people, because we're called to a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of building relationships. And sometimes that's just going to start with throwing yourself out there, maybe making a little bit of an idiot of yourself for the sake of bringing down walls, disarming the defenses, and just, hey, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to talk to you. I just want to get a conversation going here. Now, of course, the relationship with God can't take place without Christ setting us free from sin. So our passage talked about God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Pastor Tim came up to me while we were at the camp saying, hey, you want to help me rescue a sheep? Like, is this a metaphor? No, like this camp has sheep. And like there was this sheep that had its head like twisted inside this wire fence. And this sheep is just going crazy. It's like pulling, and we're like, okay, let's do this. So we walk up to this sheep from the other side of the fence, and man, he was twisted up bad. I mean, so I reach in there and I start kind of pushing on the sheep's head, and I get it like out from under one wire, and I realize it's still twisted in another wire from the other direction. So like he has wires around both sides of his neck. And he's just pulling, going crazy. So, you know, finally I get him around this one, and then I get him around this one. And as soon as I do, this sheep takes off like a shot, just running to the rest of his flock. Like, guys, you'll never guess what happened to me. But he ran from that fence. I'll tell you what, he did not want to be anywhere near that fence again. Pastor Tim made good use of that story with the kids when he was talking about the forgiveness of sins. He kept saying about, you know, this story about this sheep and about how the sheep's going, bah, bah, and like, you know, Nathan comes and he, you know, gets him out and he says, this is what Jesus does for us. He's the good shepherd who sets us free from our sins, and we can't do it by ourselves. And this one little boy, Andre, that I show you the picture of, he keeps looking at me like, really? Pravda? 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 Is that true? Так, правда. Yes, it's true. Why are you having a hard time with this story? But the reality is that this is true of all of us, right? We're all caught in this fence. We're all caught in this snare of sin. And we do not get out until the Good Shepherd comes and sets us free. But just like that sheep ran away from that fence as fast as it could, you know, Jesus also sets us free so that we can run away from our sin as fast as we can. It's not just a like, oh, I'm free. Okay, well, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, kind of rub up against the fence again and see if it happens again. Now, get away from your sin. As soon as Jesus sets you free from your sin, get away from it, because it will snare you again. The Ukrainian word for becoming a Christian literally means repent. You become a Christian when you repent, when you run like the dickens away from your sin back towards God, the one that wants this relationship with you. And we are set free for that relationship. And that's what we were doing there. So I want you guys to know as we leave here that you have a role in the ministry of reconciliation. You know, not everybody in the group was a pastor. Not everybody was a missionary by training. We had a school teacher. We had a college student. You know, we had some people that were just, they just knew how to give good hugs for little kids. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this, that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, he doesn't just say me. He doesn't just say, God has given me the ministry of reconciliation. If he has reconciled you to Christ, he's also given you the ministry of reconciliation. You say, oof, I don't know if I can do that. There's a million things you can do. I mean, probably a million if you actually broke it down piece by piece, but let's just look at some of the things you can do in our church alone. There's youth ministry. By the way, we really need people in youth ministry. You don't have to be like the person, but just if you want to volunteer and help. Evangelism, Alpha Course, Bible Squad, Kids Club, Nursery, Greeting. You say, well, we've already got greeters. That's kind of covered. When we walked into Thomas's church in Romania, there were like 7 or 8 kids lined up at the door waiting to receive us, every single person that came in. So, you know, we got plenty of room for greeters. Music, the audiovisual, we need people. Small groups, trustees, and maintenance, benevolence, visitation. Hagar's Hope, which isn't really our church per se, but we're involved with it. Or just being a loving gospel witness wherever you live in your community. If you think, they don't need me, they've already got somebody to do that, I can tell you with confidence, we can use more hands to do the work. You know, Jesus says, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send more workers into the harvest field, because the harvest is ripe. But again, the goal of all these ministries, whether you're doing small groups or Bible squad or just greeting, even if you're just, you know, setting out the coffee and the cookies, the point of all of it is the ministry of reconciliation. It's all about bringing people to Jesus, reuniting people who have been lost from their Creator. And that's what we were doing, even when we were playing wiffle ball. That game of wiffle ball was so important for sharing the gospel with those kids. And I don't know what your role is. I don't know what your ministry is going to be. If you're curious, I'm happy to sit down and talk with you, find out what you're interested in, what you're good at, or even what you just want to try. But whatever you do, it's going to be a part of reuniting people who have been lost from their Creator into a loving relationship with the God that made them. So thank you guys for your prayers. Thank you for everything that you did to help provide. Thank you for everybody that checked in on my family during the week and said, do you guys need anything? You know, I can leave because I know that I've got a family here that takes care of my family. So thank you for doing that. Let's pray. God, we don't all think of ourselves as missionaries in the traditional sense. But Lord, we are your hands and feet. And whatever you have prepared in advance for us to do, Lord, walk with us through it. For those that are already reconciled to you, who already have that faith in Jesus, give us the perseverance to strengthen one another, to keep each other walking with you. For those that don't know you yet, give us the courage just to build relationships, just to start conversations, even if it seems completely innocuous at first. Help us get over ourselves, get over that initial fear, and just start making friends, just start showing love. God, those kids are still there. And the first group is gone, but the second group is there. We only got one day with them. The second team hasn't arrived yet. Be with Andre and his mother, Tanya, who are kind of running the camp without us at this point. Would you bring these kids to faith in Jesus. For those that have been through trauma, and all of them have been through trauma because they live in cities that are getting bombed, would you give them a hope of eternal life? Would you give them the peace of knowing that they've got a Father that sees them and loves them and walks with them? I pray that you would break down the barriers, the hostility to faith, the messages that they've been told their whole lives about religious people or about Christianity being a sign of weakness. Would you open up their hearts to receive what you want to do in them? And I pray you'd anoint the new team that's coming in at the end of this week. Continue to share the gospel with them. Thank you for the team that went. Continue to work through them and in their churches, wherever they've gone. And continue to work in this church as we continue to offer our hands up to you to be used however you direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.